Good morning. It is Sunday, March 5th, and this is Renee in Ohio, and I'm doing my first podcast. I actually tried to do my first podcast last night and ran into all sorts of technical difficulties, but at around 2 in the morning when I was finally thinking that I was done with that for a while, I saw a comment from Florida Gal saying that she'd put a new post up at Howard Empowered People and needed someone to put the alternative link in. So I went ahead and very blearily finished up that task. And then I took a peek at the article, which was about Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi complaining about Howard Dean raising money and specifically spending the money to fund organizers for state parties rather than targeting states with crucial races this fall. And of course that was annoying. I'm pretty tired of having Howard Dean having to fight not only the Republicans but people within his party as well. But that alone probably wouldn't have motivated me to get back on this microphone here and have a rant. But in addition to that, I saw a comment from Alan in California saying that he had tried to contact Pelosi and Reid first by their web forms, and it wouldn't accept his, any messages from people outside of their districts. And that's enough to inspire a rant. First of all, just a little bit of background. I'm one of those people who was blissfully unaware of politics for many, many years. I probably thought of myself as a Democrat, but really didn't think about it all that much. I only became more aware of politics because Bush was so bad. He was really bad. It was certainly ended up being a lot worse for America than a lot of us really expected, even though I did vote against him. I didn't really do anything in that particular election. I only stayed involved after the 2004 election because of Howard Dean and the influence he had. I was one of the Deaniacs, and my husband and I both were. It was never really just Howard Dean's anti-war stance that drew us to him, but it was that message that you have the power. And it wasn't just the words, you have the power, but literally, we found that there were ways that we could make a real contribution to a campaign without being people who had a lot of money, without being people who were going to go and knock on doors, do canvassing, do phone calls. So it was pretty exciting to be able to do what we could do, what we felt we had an interest in and a talent for, and make a contribution to a campaign that was appreciated and that was welcomed. Unfortunately, having become awake and aware of what was going on in politics, we also became more aware that there were a lot of people out there who really didn't want us to have the power, who wanted to keep ordinary people from having the power. And it's sometimes hard to get across to people that when people attack Howard Dean, it's not that we're worshiping him, you know, that's not why we get upset, because we just think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, although a lot of us do think that. What's upsetting is that this is someone who spoke up for us. This is someone who, when nobody else had our backs, Howard Dean had our backs. And when people attack him, they're attacking the person who has spoken for us. So he had our backs, and I feel like we need to have his back as much as we possibly can. I wanted to say, after I saw what the Democratic Party had done to Howard Dean in the 2004 election, how they had opposed him, how they probably fought harder against him than they ever ended up fighting against George Bush, I wanted to say, you know, the heck with this. I'm done with all of this. I'm done with politics. I wanted to be done with the Democratic Party, but darn it, that Howard Dean didn't say that. He didn't give up, and he actually went after the thankless job of being chair of the DNC. And it really is thankless because he's getting grief from both sides. He doesn't tell it like it is and really lay into people like Lieberman or anyone else who feels, these people who feel perfectly comfortable criticizing him. So I think it's a pretty raw deal, but I also really admire the efforts that he's going to rebuild the party, to have 50 state campaigns, to rebuild all of the local parties. So given that, it's pretty disappointing to hear that Pelosi and Reid were criticizing him for just that. criticizing him for doing what he said he'd do, what he promised to do that got him elected chair of the DNC in the first place. In the comments, Jay Dean noted, "I thought the DCCC and the DSCC were supposed to raise money for targeted races, and the DNC was supposed to take care of building and maintaining a real party instead of an empty shell of the Democratic Party that it has been in recent years." And that certainly was my understanding. Once again, before very recently, I wasn't even aware that all of those different organizations, starting with D, were very different from each other. But that's what he promised to do, and that's his job. And the second thing, as I mentioned, was that really was frustrating, was to hear that Reid and Pelosi were not taking messages or trying to screen out messages from people outside of the state, outside of their districts. I go online as my name online is Renee in Ohio, and people who are following politics closely are probably aware of one of the recent big kerfuffles in politics was with the Paul Hackett race and how Paul Hackett was squeezed out of the race for senator in Ohio in favor of candidate Sherrod Brown. Now, in that case, what we saw is people from out of state were really having a hand in this. People from out of state were pressuring Hackett to drop out. They were calling Hackett's donors, asking them to switch their support to Sherrod Brown. So I don't understand why that's appropriate, why people from out of state can have an influence like that, but the little people, individuals, are dissuaded from contacting the minority leader of the Senate and the minority leader of the House. If we're going to be the opposition party, I think part of the job is that we need to be opposing. We need to actually be taking a stand, differentiating, distinguishing ourselves from the Republicans. And so again, once again, this is very frustrating to see people trying to silence our voices or people trying to listen to party insiders rather than listening to the voice of the people. And at very least, there's a lot of things that need to change, but at very least, if you are the minority leader of the House and the minority leader of the Senate, you represent all of us. You represent the people who are Democrats, and you're the only voice we have in the House and in the Senate, and the other people who are, again, senators and representatives as well, but especially the leaders of the party. You're accountable to us. We're your boss. We're all your boss. It's not people inside Washington. So I would ask that anybody online, any senator, any representative, who is going to be taking calls, certainly you are willing to be influenced by louder voices, by the media, by organized groups outside of your state, that you do the small thing, a small change, and allow your constituents all over the country to contact you if they're willing to take the time, if they're willing to take the time to write down their thoughts and express themselves. You should be openly willing to hear what we have to say. Thank you very much.